Well, I'm going to preach. And I want to talk to you, and Pastor Dan preached last weekend, and I so much appreciate you, Pastor Dan, up there. I can see you, and Tara. Thank you for looking after this place. We, Elaine and I, really miss being here, honestly. We're thinking about, well, yeah, the service is starting now. I just wonder what's going to happen. And we enjoyed where we were, but we sure missed you. We love you so much. We're going to talk about motivational gifts. We're continuing on in the series. And we have different gifts, it says in Romans, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. And so we did talk about prophecy for a couple of weeks. And so if you have any questions on that, we'll continue to answer those questions. And please feel free that you can email me or talk to me, and we'll sit down and talk about some of these, because it's an interesting, challenging area of Scripture to try to figure out and understand it. But as we continue on in this, it says, if it's serving, then serve. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And if it's teaching, then teach. And if it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. And if it's to lead, do it with diligency or diligence. Is that the word? And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. All right? I don't know how you can show mercy without being cheerful anyway, but, you know, you can't be an angry mercy person. We'll talk about that in the future. So sometimes we need to understand what the difference between these motivational gifts are. And somebody wrote this, I heard it years and years ago, but I found it on the internet here. It says, the difference between the various motivational gifts can best be illustrated by this scene. It's the church supper, and Sally is bringing a jug of milk for the teas when she stumbles and spills it. The motivational gift prophet says, what is God trying to show us through this incident? The server runs to get a mop and a bucket and shoos everyone out of the way so he can clean up the mess, or she can clean up the mess. The teacher says, if you carry it this way next time, you'll be less likely to spill it. The encourager says, don't worry, it's only a jug of milk. I remember when I was a kid, I spilled a whole bucket of milk, and a really big bucket. My mom was really upset because it was the only milk that we had and we couldn't afford to buy anymore, so she sent me out to bed without dinner. Then Uncle Tom came. You know how that is? Just on and on and on. The encourager. And then the leader says, come on, everyone, let's get this fixed up, and starts assigning tasks. And the giver goes out and buys some new milk. And then the mercy goes to Sally, who puts a hand on her shoulder and quietly asks, are you okay? Do you understand the motivational gifts and how they work? They can drive you nuts. That's true. They can drive, because this is a gentle situation, but it's not always so gentle. Everything to do with this, and we talked a bit about this. We had a leadership meeting with the Filipino leaders last night, and so we did talk about this. Attitude is really important. And so listen to this. The mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked the favor of him. So here she is, this little Jewish mother. She kneels down in front of Jesus and says, hey, I want to talk to you. These boys are good. Is that Russian? I don't know. What is it you want, he said. And she said, grant one of these two sons of mine to sit on your right and the other one to sit on the left of your kingdom. And then a big fight ensued. You know how that goes? It's like, why should those boys be on the right and the left, and there's 10 of us that, you know, we're all equal, and who do you think you are? You know, Mrs. Zebedee, who do you think you are that your boys should sit there? And Jesus said, well, look, it's not for me to give this. And so they had this little argument, and then Jesus stepped in, and he called them all together, and he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Different. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I'm not sure whether you know about the Moldovan movement, the ministry of the Moldovians, but it started years and years and years ago, and what they would do is they had such a passion to win people to Christ that they would sell themselves into slavery so that they could have an opportunity to witness. Can you imagine that they sold themselves, and from that point on they were owned by somebody else, but they did it so they could touch those people's lives. They became slaves for the gospel of Christ. Then Jesus said, the kings of the Gentiles lorded over them. And this is a different way. That was the attitude of the leadership. We have to be humbled in this situation. When we're called to be leaders or we're called to be servants, we need to have this servant leadership attitude. I've told you before, I am not the CEO of this church. I'm the servant to this church, to everyone here. Everyone here. All our pastors are servants to everyone here. There's no high and exalted. There's no esteemed position. Christ takes all of those. And I am a servant. And Jesus said, this is the work of a servant. Jesus said to them, the kings and the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who all exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, the one who rules like the one who serves. You have to be like the least of these to be the greatest in the kingdom. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves, or who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. So think about this. When you go to a restaurant, it's usually a time when you're really hungry. Think about the people that are serving. They're hungry too. We're all on the same clock. But they will actually sell themselves for those hours so that they do not eat when you eat, so they can be serving you. They've made a choice, and they love it. I enjoyed it. My mom owned a restaurant, and I enjoyed serving people. I enjoyed cooking for people. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed filling their coffee cups up, and I loved, you know, intermingling with them and talking, and I just really enjoyed that. That was really exciting. I loved serving in that area. So he says, and before I start this portion, I need a couple of volunteers, a couple of men, boys, male species, gender. No, you're not going to do it, are you? There's a trust issue with your pastor. Come on, I need a couple. Okay, here comes Neil. Here comes Tyler. Good. That's good. Come on up here and have a seat on these chairs here. Good deal. Because I'm going to wash your feet. What do you think of that? You didn't think that was going to happen. You didn't work today, so they might be okay. Has anybody had their feet washed before? I was going to do everybody, but we don't have time. If you had 1 foot, we'd be half the time.
Everybody washes everybody's feet, did you?
Huh?
Everybody washes someone else's feet, we have time.
We have time, but I didn't set up for that. Actually, I just thought about this morning. Let me read this scripture. It was just before Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas and Simon and the son of Simon Iscariot to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and so he had come from God and was returning to God. Can you imagine? Jesus was born here, and then he knew that he's going home to be with his dad. Think about that. Have you ever thought about that? That he knew. He's been apart for that long. He met him on the mountain a few times, but he's going home to glory after 33 years on this earth as one of us. So he got up from the meal, and he took off his outer clothing and wrapped himself with a towel around his waist. So that's all I'm going to do is my jacket, okay? And I'm not going to wrap a towel because there's not one big enough to wrap around a tie. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So I'm going to do this. And as I do it, I'm gonna do Neil's first. Not because I think yours are worse, okay? And I don't mean that yours are worse because I want to do them first either, okay? I remember Elaine and I were invited to have supper with someone one time in our church in Parksville. And I'm going to do both feet because I don't want you walking crooked when you leave here. Okay, nice socks, Neil. Very nice choice. Jesus didn't have to do this. All right? So I'm just going to put this up here, and I'm going to wash your feet. We went to this person's house. Sorry, Randy, I'm getting water all over. Oh, I'm getting them on your... I'll fill your shoes up, too. But the feet of... when we went to this couple's house, he didn't attend the church, but she did. And she said, we want you to come in here and sit down, take your shoes off. And then they came and washed our feet. It was a very humbling experience. Jesus did this. Can you imagine? God the Creator did this. God the Creator who created these feet. You ready, Tyler? Okay. Nice shoes. Good socks, too. Little commentary. Okay, I'll get this one, too. So, we felt very humbled, and we sat with this man who was really angry at the church. He didn't come, as I said. Needed a bigger bowl. I'm glad there's not a lot of residue here. All right. Great. And he had created an environment for me to be able to listen to his hurts and his woes. And he said to me after supper, I got a bone to pick with you. My mom used to say that. When she had a bone to pick with me, it meant that it's going to probably cause some grief for me. Thank you, guys. You can go ahead and put your socks on. Put the right shoes on. You guys know what it is. Thank you for doing that. And he told me about the hurts and pains that he had. But I think the reason... Are you going to trade socks, or what are you guys doing? Oh. Okay, yeah, because I didn't think of that. Maybe that was... See, that's servanthood, isn't it? Thank you, Tyler. I'll wash and you dry. How's that, eh? That's a good team. That's very good. A little hard on wet feet, isn't it? Okay, yeah, a very good example of, sure it is. All right, good deal. So he told me about his hurts and pains and stuff, and he just kind of unloaded on me, and that's okay. I felt that God had created a place for me to be so that he could unload. We actually resigned that church shortly after, and it wasn't because of that. We came back a few years later, and he had rededicated his life to Christ in that period while we were gone, and he was the leader of the men's fellowship at that time. It's an opportunity. No. Thank you. Thanks, Neil. God wants to create an opportunity for you to be a servant. We don't do that. We ask people to take their shoes off when they come into our house, but we don't sit down and wash their feet. But we do that in a different way. We do that by caring for them and loving them, and making them feel at home in our house, creating an environment so that they can start to share. That's what Jesus did. Can you imagine he washed Judas' feet? Do you remember that? He washed Judas' feet. He didn't have any malice towards Judas. And yet Judas was about to betray him in a few hours. So as we continue on in this portion of scripture, it says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, and I love Peter, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? Jesus said, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. And he goes, no. Can you imagine saying no to God? No. I guess I have a few times, but Peter always getting in trouble, right? You know, he says something, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, whoa, that would be like, that would kind of ruin your day, right? So he said, no, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you'll have no part of me. Quickly, he says, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Just do me, Lord, just completely do. I want to be part of you. We have to be humbled. We have to humble ourselves, and at the proper time, God will exalt us. We need to be able to be servants. Jesus was our example. Jesus answered, those who have bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, but you are clean, though not every one of you, because he was talking about Judas, for he knew he was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. For he knew, and in verse 13 it says, you called me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Now that I have served and you have seen me, can you imagine Jesus being down, and those feet were dirty, and it wasn't because they were not hygienic people. It's just that they walked in sandals and their feet were dirty all the time, and it was a custom. And it was a very humiliating custom because you hired servants to do that. You didn't do it as the house owner. You didn't do it as the person who was hosting a beautiful gala. It wasn't like that. Remember, Mary Magdalene came in and washed Jesus' feet with some very expensive perfume and then dried his feet with her hair. I think about the humility. And everybody was saying, wow, you know, if he only knew who was touching him. Like, what is this guy? Isn't he spiritual? Come on, he should be able to discern that this lady is just of no value at all. And yet, her story goes on and on and on as recorded in history. I've set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I say to you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. We need to be servants. And so it is one of the motivational gifts that we have. So Jesus said this to them, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So what is it that we do to serve? It has to do with attitude. Are you willing? Are you willing to pick up some garbage? Are you willing to clean toilets? We've pastored churches where we couldn't afford to have custodians or janitors, and so everybody had kind of a shift to work on. And so that meant, you know, you volunteer for a week and you do everything. You clean toilets, unplug toilets, or whatever the case is. Not really a high-end job that you wanted to do. You might take the garbage out. You might do whatever. But it's a job that needed to be done. And you need to do it whether or not you're the pastor or you're the head of a department. You just have to do it because you're a servant. As Tyler said, thank you for sharing that you have a friend with MS, that you do this often for him. Think about that. Somebody has to care for you because you're not able to do that. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to listen? It can be a physical situation. or it could be an emotional situation. It could be a spiritual situation. Are you willing to get down, take your coat off, get your hands wet, or get your hands dirty? Are you willing to do that? Because Jesus was. So, some of you are servants. There's nationalities that just serve. They just love to serve other people. And so it might be inbred in you, but it's something, might be in your family, that you have that desire to help and to move in areas that most people don't feel comfortable with, in ministries that a lot of people don't want to get themselves involved in, because you'll be up all night, because they may steal something from you. I remember when I worked on the ambulance, I was like the person, maybe it's the mercy gift, but I would bring people home that didn't have anywhere to go. And so I remember bringing this lady home because she just got out of surgery and she didn't have anywhere to go. Like, so I brought her home. And we didn't know that, but she stayed up all night because she was tormented by demons and we didn't know that. That's in your house. And so at 3 o'clock in the morning, we heard her romping around, and it kind of scared us because we're fairly new Christians. And so we'd try to minister to her, and then we brought her to church, and we're sitting. I was a board member at that time, and I was sitting in the middle of the congregation, and she just kind of turned to me, and she turned colors, and she went in the middle of the service. And now I didn't want to be a servant then. I didn't want to be a Christian. I didn't want to be in that church. I didn't want to be there because I didn't know what to do. But we are able to minister to her and set her free. Because we were servants and said she needed somewhere to live. She needed somewhere to be. I don't really recommend that totally, bringing people in that you don't know. But I believe that when God tells you to do something, you need to do it. You just need to do it because that's serving. And that will work in with the other gifts as well. So Jesus said, now that you know these things, now that you know how I operate, now that you know who I am, I want you to do the same. Could have the team come back, the worship team. We've already had a beautiful time at the altar. But we're going to offer some more time to spend with God. And if you're not in a rush, we just really encourage you to join us. We're going to probably turn the lights down a little bit. But we're going to invite you to stand. If you need to go, we're just going to start something new because we love you to have fellowship, and we got great area out there to fellowship. So we're going to continue in worship, but you'll notice that the doors will start to close, and that's not to keep you in here until I'm satisfied that you met with God, okay? It's got nothing to do with that. We just want to give you an opportunity to have coffee and visit. And we can still remain here and pray for people and pray and just have that kind of, just that little barrier between. So it's something new. We haven't done that since I've been your pastor. But you'll probably notice that the doors will start to close. Please feel free to stay, receive from God. Or if you need to go, please feel free to go. We want that to be something that just is fluid with us. So if you're out there and you want to come back in, please, those doors are not locked. So please, just kind of help us to create that type of an environment. So there's some of you who are servants, and I encourage you to continue on and let God give you opportunities to serve. There's others who have different gifts, but serving will come in. Hospitality is a big part of serving, and I didn't go into that. But allowing your house to be open and sitting down with somebody at a meal, that's serving. It's a tremendous thing. We have people in our church that serve very, very well. But there's other things maybe that God wants to minister to you in your life. And so we're going to invite you to come to the altar. We'll pray for you. We'll anoint you with oil. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is the first time you've been here and you heard about missions this morning. You heard about healing this morning. You saw the power of God work in worship and praise. And you don't know Him in your personal life. You've never said, Jesus, I need you. So with every head bowed and nobody looking around, I just want you to say this prayer together out loud. Father, I want to thank you for your beautiful love. I thank you for coming into my life. I want to give you my life. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want Jesus to come into my life and renew me. I want to be a new creation. So, Lord, come into my life, forgive my sins, and make me whole in you. I receive you now as my Savior, and I thank you that you're my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. In your name, Jesus.